Welcome to the Watchman Chronicles show, Rock Yacht Watchman Chronicles Bible study for tonight on Saturday, 7 to 9. I do this every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday nights. And tonight we begin part number 4, talking about how to live the Christian life. And let it begin.
See it in the movies, in the paper, and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain.
Welcome to the Watchman Chronicles Bible study for tonight. And here we go. My name is Thomas Gamble. I am the host for this Bible study tonight. And I normally have a broadcast Monday through Friday from 3 to 5 p.m. on the Watchman Chronicle, excuse me, the Micro Effect, T-H-E-M-I-C-R-O, EFFECT, the microeffect.com, from 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Monday through Friday. And on Monday nights, I have another broadcast with the RevelationRadioNetwork.org. That's RevelationRadioNetwork.org, from 8 to 10 p.m. on Mondays, but Mondays only. So I do two broadcasts on Mondays, one the Micro Effect, then that night, at the Revelation Radio Network. And then from then on, it's the microeffect.com from 3 to 5. Bible study, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturdays from 7 to 9. And every other time I'm researching and studying the Word of God. Welcome tonight. We're going to talk about how to live the Christian life. And it's not easy to do, especially now. And it's not easy to do when you've got experts coming out of the woodwork. They have certain degrees, or they have a theology that they follow, or an agenda. They're either a Freemason, or they're a Jesuit, or in Calvinism, or I don't know. They push the Geneva Bible, the Bishop's Bible, the Jerusalem Bible, every Bible. Enoch, the Book of Enoch, for goodness sakes. And everybody's afraid to touch, it seems like, the King James Bible. And that is the only true word of God you're going to get on the face of this planet. And literally, without exception, guaranteed, speaking in a literal sense, not hyperbole, you could go to the Library of Congress in Washington. You can go to the library at the Vatican that maybe goes back centuries upon centuries. It don't matter. You could go to the library in London if you want to. You combine all of them together, literally, they will not stand up to the King James Bible. The age of the document, the age of the books, means nothing. It is the source of their inspiration means everything. Harvard, Oxford, any Bible college, you name it, that's pushing the Calvinist agenda, the Freemasons agenda, Jesuit agenda, that pushes other books besides the King James, are worthless. The education they get there is leading them astray in every case, including Harvard. I mean that literal. Today we have no scholars that even remotely compare to the 47 scholars that put the King James Bible together. The fact of the matter is, every college and university in the United States, as evidenced by quotes with names and dates, I can give them to you. I have before, I can do it anytime. Confirm, in fact, that every major college and university, especially the liberal arts colleges, all of them have a resident Marxist and humanist scholar aboard their teaching staff to ensure that their curriculum follows the Marxist humanist preachment. And that's a fact. So then that cancels out any possibility of having any scholar coming out of those colleges because they have an agenda. They're taught incorrectly. Now, these are facts. And what I discovered when I started doing studying, I had to forget everything I ever learned. Because I realized it's all controlled through the education that's led by a Luciferian agenda. That's a fact. Satan has put control, the fallen angels, seven, the Council of Seven, actually. And in fact, they control and have controlled. And we have to say this is Nimrod, because that's when the religion was formed and created. All religions, ancient mystery religions began then. Shamanism, Mithraism, all that stuff began with Nimrod, Freemasonry, sorcery. But I mentioned it many, many times before. Satan has controlled education, philosophy, all the religions, every one of them. Science, the arts, all politics worldwide and finance. Worldwide is under the control of Satan through councils, committees, bloodline, kings and queens and so forth, has controlled all of the monarchies since going back to Charles Mayne, all the way back to Attila the Hun, all the way back to the Pharaohs of Egypt are on the same bloodline. Now that should get somebody's attention. You see? Because these are facts. And they're not telling them that in these colleges. People aren't getting the truth. You see? And it's overwhelming to find the number of people these days they're trying to get the mind off of the King James Bible. Oh, you ought to read the book of Enoch. My question is, why? Maybe when you're, you know, a little bored and you want some, I guess, information about the fallen angels, so you could read that, I guess. But now, because you see the end, you see the times are coming around that the King James has cited in the book of Revelation, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, you see them coming around. Why would I want to read about the fallen angels, sons of God of the Old Testament, in the book of Enoch? Especially since the book of Enoch was never written by Enoch. Why would I want to focus on that? I don't understand their thinking. The King James Bible, through the Old Testament, talks about the sons of God. It talks about the giants with the hybrid, the DNA, from daughters of man and the sons of God, the fallen angels. It's all in the King James Bible as well. And being the King James Bible from Genesis to Revelation is all inspired by God himself. Jesus Christ, when he's on earth, and the Holy Spirit at Pentecost from then on, and all three are one and the same, then why would I want to read any books outside of what are inspired by God himself? Doesn't make any sense to me. Especially when you know the ESV, the New American Standard Bible, the New King James Bible, the Jerusalem Bible, every Douay-Rheims Bible, Septuagint, the Apocrypha, are all corrupted. Most of them come from Origen, O-R-I-G-E-N, a Greek philosopher in Egypt, Alexander Egypt. Why would I want to read corrupt versions that's purposely corrupted? I don't understand the thinking process. If I'm reading a New American Standard Bible or a NIV Bible, New International Version, and it's missing verses, why would I want to read it? Why even keep it? It's a satanic Bible. All of them are, except for the King James. It's full. It has everything in it. It's inerrant Word of God. Men, and was inspired, moved by the Holy Spirit, wrote as the Holy Spirit told them to. Were eyewitnesses to the walk of Jesus, the Old Testament. God himself spoke to Moses. Five books, half of the Torah, rather other half of the Torah is not God-inspired, so, you know, whatever. But the first five books are God to Moses. Moses wrote them down on scrolls. The first gospel was written by the finger of God, supernaturally in stone. Twice, one original, one copy. Yeah. First one got broke, remember? God wrote again on the scrolls. Excuse me, in the rock with his finger. The Ten Commandments the second time. That would be a copy, wouldn't it? I don't think God made a mistake. From then on, it was Moses taking dictation from God. Audibly. Not by the Holy Spirit, but audibly. Can you imagine? I think I'll pick the King James Bible. Others can pick Enoch if they want to. You can read Enoch or Harry Potter. I don't know, whatever. But the book of Enoch was not written by Enoch. Neither Enoch the son of Cain, neither Enoch the son of Jared. Enoch the son of Jared is the godly Enoch that was taken up by God. His body was translated. In other words, his DNA was changed. He is so loved by God that he took him away from, didn't even die. He took him alive. Up, here you go. Pshoo. Only two in history. Recorded history was taken by God in a sort of rapture of their own. Right. Body was changed and taken. I don't know what these colleges out there are teaching, but sure is not the Word of God, that's for sure. Because the churches are going downhill fast. But then again, that's not a surprise, because it says the falling away. This is a setting up of the falling away. Falling away hadn't happened yet. Oh, but it's getting down there. It's getting around to it. But do we really have the inerrant Word of God? The answer for that is absolutely sure. You've got Baptist ministers these days that say, well, the King James is a good one. We use the King James Bible, but there's better versions. And then they come up with this sorry excuse that, well, there's more accurate. We found more accurate in older versions, older manuscripts. Well, that's a lie. Some of the pastors really believe this, though. That's the problem. Then they say that older is more accurate. It's not true. They say the King James added verses. Well, yeah, because the others were missing the verses because the bishops, the Geneva, and all the rest of them, based on the Douay Rheims and the Roman Catholic Bible, Jerusalem Bible, and so forth, were not complete. King James Bible, all of them were fluent, Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic, English, Latin. All of the translators were fluent. 47 it ended up being, three different locations. Actual scholars who loved God, not like they got today. They're taught in these heretical colleges based on Marxist and Humanist Manifesto. The Vatican, Jesuits. You got Jesuits trained to be Baptist ministers. That's a problem. You got Baptist ministers out there. You got ministers out there that are third and third degree Masons. Billy Graham, Copeland, Hagee, these are third and third degree Masons. Joyce Myers, she's an Eastern Star. All of TBN are Freemasons. All this is a problem. Pray for them. But move on. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and then we're going to get down to it here. And talk about tonight how to live the Christian life. Thursday, we finished up on victory over Satan. We still got more to talk about concerning spiritual warfare, because that's where the war comes from, not a 7.62 or a 5.56 M14 or M15, M16, 7.62 M16, M5.56 M16, magazine fed, gas operated, shoulder weapon, won't do you a bit of good with a copper bullet. It's not going to happen. Spiritual warfare is your only weapon you got. In the love of God and spiritual warfare and being born again. That's the only weapon you got. Everything else is going to run out or tear up or miss. Limited. That war is coming. It's a spiritual war, not a war of physical means at all. Well, it's going to be physical, but the spiritual will overpower it. Lord, tonight we come before you in prayer, and we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, we do thank you for your Son. We thank you for the sacrifice that you made, Lord, of your only begotten Son, that we may live for an eternal life. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Word you sent to us, the King James Bible. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that gives us wisdom and discernment. And, Father, we call upon you tonight that you bring us all together in one, that we share the gospel, that you, Father, that you, as we confess our sins to you, that, Father, you'll hear those prayers and forgive us of our sins, that we confess everyone individually. You know the hearts, Lord. And those who confess those sins, Father, we know by your promises you'll forgive them. And, Father, to help us lead and walk that faith and walk that life, to live that Christian life. Father, it's not easy down here. But then again, you know, Lord, because you've been through it all. As Jesus Christ walked this planet, a sinless, a sacrifice, so we may live eternally. We lift up to you our brothers and sisters we have before. Irvin, we lift up Kelly, we lift up Tex, others we've lifted up, Father, and Gary, that they'll all be a testimony for your love, your glory. And Beth, we lift them all up to you, Lord, that have been sent prayers in, and we bring them back across, Lord, and David and all these and men, the families that's having troubles, Lord. Some of them we mention, some of them we don't. But Father, you know them all. We pray for returning servicemen, Lord. We pray for you, Father, to render those chemicals that are being given and the microchips in those pills are being given, Lord. That you render it null and void. That you help them, Lord, in their post-traumatic stress that's been induced by the Illuminati, by the highest level government that's been targeting our own troops. That, Father, you know the story. And, Father, you help them when they get back to lead their minds away from suicide, lead their minds away from Hinduism and Buddhism and all these others. And, Father, to give them that love, the divine appointments to lead them in the right path. We call upon you, Lord, to protect those children and adults that's been targeted for these sacrifices of occult origin coming up in September and October. We call upon you, Lord, to strip down the protection of those Wicca and the witchcraft in Asheville, North Carolina, those in the Virginia Beach area, and all those military bases, to strip down their protection and cause them to be open, Father, and strip down and send those warring angels down. And those to bind the Holy Spirit, to bind the blood of Jesus on their hearts, that those that can will come to the Lord Jesus Christ repentance. And Father, to send dreams and visions to those Muslims, that Father, in those dreams and visions, that they'll accept Jesus Christ as Savior. And Lord, we call you tonight to lead us tonight in this prayer. Lead us tonight, Lord, in the Holy Spirit in this Bible study tonight. In all these we pray, in the name of your Son, Jesus, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done and thy will be done in heaven as it is in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Excuse me, family, I'm a little choked up there. Don't believe it when people tell you that the Word of God is found only in the originals. Nobody has them. Don't believe it when they say you got to read Strong's to get it. Don't believe it when they tell you that you have to read the Greek and Hebrew. All that's a bunch of flurry and just fancy sidestepping from Calvinists, preterists, those that are leading people astray. You don't have to learn Greek, I'm here to tell you. You don't have to learn Latin. You don't have to learn Hebrew. Carrying the word of God to mankind was passed on to the Gentiles because the Hebrew Israelites failed in it. They were not disinherited like Christian identity wants to claim or Calvinists want to claim or whatever. They're still in the bloodline of Abraham as Ishmael, the father of the Arabs, half-brother to Isaac and Jacob, cousins to Esau. They're all in the same bloodline. The tribe of Dan was disinherited because of the idol worship they went and the violence they caused. They were disinherited from the 12 tribes. The 12 tribes were never lost. And they're not America and they're not Europe either. It's a lot of nonsense, total nonsense. They know who the 144,000 are. They know the tribes. They know the bloodline. They're kept secret and they'll never find them either. The Jews there in Israel today are not real Jews. They are the Ashkenazi tribe of Dan that's been corrupted 80-90%. God will take care of that. That's called the second seal. It's called World War III. That's when the Antichrist will turn against the world, actually, to head toward Jerusalem. They say they're building the third temple now, or getting around to it. We'll see. But family, we're not even in the first seal yet. Preparing it, maybe. disclosure will open the first seal. That's when the falling away and the man of sin will be revealed. Hadn't happened yet. They're calling the next conflict that's allegedly brewing as World War III, as Armageddon, as Gog and Magog, and all three are wrong. This next brewing, whatever, and it could in fact end up in a city being destroyed. It could end up in a serious conflict, but it will not be World War III. It will not be Armageddon. It will not be Gog and Magog. Psalms 83 was fulfilled in 1967. We're not yet even close to the millennium. We're not even toward Armageddon yet. We're not in the first seal yet. They'll have you believe otherwise, but it's baloney. The white horse in the first seal is the Antichrist. He hadn't come in yet. He hadn't brought peace to the world yet. And certainly Jesus Christ, they say in 70 A.D., was fulfillment of the prophecy. And that's baloney too, because Jesus Christ never physically came down. That's not even worth talking about. That's what your Calvinists and Preterists and so forth want to claim, that 70 A.D. was fulfillment. No, it wasn't. As a second, the third rebuilt temple is yet to happen. Ezekiel's old bones coming back to life hadn't happened yet either. That's the real Hebrew Israelites. They're still put away until time they'll be brought in. They're trying to escalate the end times events to bring about the disclosure that will be the fallen angels coming here as so-called masquerading as aliens, as ascended masters. I've talked about this before. It's going to be the big delusion, a lie. Many will fall for it. Christians will fall by the wayside. That's Satan's plan, at least only part of it anyway. Do we have the inerrant word of God? Sure do. Matthew 24, verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. You got a whole lot of college students, professors, and pastors, and teachers, and lay people talk about. We believe in the inerrancy of the scriptures is found in the originals. Nobody has the originals. Baloney. They're saying we don't have God's word today, which directly contradicts it, what Jesus said in Matthew 24, 35. You got the faith of many young Christians. They're being shattered. This by the time they leave these heretical Bible colleges. Don't fall for this trap. You develop your own relationship with God through Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ only. You do it. Your own. Don't depend on reading Dr. Chuck Baldwin's book or James White or any of these people. Why? The King James Bible is the only true word anyway. And the Holy Spirit will guide you along. What more do you need? The King James translators were led by God in the correct definitions translated into English. What did they do before the King James? Well, they didn't. Before the year 1500, you had the Dark Ages. Then you had the heretical Douay-Rheims and Septuagint and Apocrypha and all this other junk. That's corrupted versions of Origen's corruption to Eusebius, to Jerome, that the Vatican controlled because they knew Latin. Nobody else did. Now they're trying to say Torah code, Bible code. You got to read the originals. In every case, they're trying to keep it away once again from the common people. Very slick and very tricky they are. They'll have to account for that before God. It's better to have a millstone tied around your neck than to lead the little ones astray. That means young Christians. And those people promulgating all this junk that we got going around will answer to a much higher power than they can even imagine. Satan's first words to Eve was what in the garden? We talked about that before. Yea, hath God said, He'd been doing it ever since. Satan even questioned Eve about God's word there. And we know the results of her listening to him. This is what's going on today. Adam too. Robbed the chain it went. Well, the Greek doesn't really say that, they say. Or the authorized King James does not say that properly. Another lie. The authorized King James is hard to read and outdated. I don't like the these and thous. All these are poor excuses. You need to go in the Bible college and take some Hebrew classes so that you better understand the Bible. More nonsense. Total nonsense. You're telling me that God didn't plan that 7 billion people on the face of this earth and all through before? You tell me he didn't plan that they had to learn Greek and Hebrew to understand his word? That's simple. Of course he didn't. That's why I put it into the Gentiles. The Gentiles came up with along the way, the English language, which is made up of universal words. It's universal. Knock, knock. If the Hebrews had done what they're supposed to have done, yeah, they might have used that Yahweh or Yeshua or whatever, but that's actually Judaic God, which is not God of the Bible. Yahweh, Yeshua, Joshua, Yahweh is Satan backwards, the Tetragrammaton. They're not telling you that. You don't go back to Hebrew roots anymore. The tribe of Dan would love for you to. Nuh-uh. Nope, sorry, you lost. The tribe of Dan are your kings and queens today, the Merovingian bloodline. The tribe of Dan made a pact with the devil and got integrated with Nephilim, integrated with the DNA from fallen angels, became the tribe of Dan. They're trying to regain what they lost because of their idolatrous behavior. They'll have it for a short. They've had it now. But boy, it will be so temporary. Lost tribes are never lost. Yeah, they're hidden where you can't find them for the bad guys. You'll never find them. Hitler tried. Hitler is Roman Catholic. Hitler is second cousin to Queen Elizabeth II, Churchill, Stalin, and every one of our American presidents are all in the bloodline, of the same bloodline. Tribe of Dan. Yeah, buddy. Bringing other families, Irish, Scottish, along the way. Promises of being elite. Rewards. Freemasonry. Top secrets. And blah, blah, blah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Biological. Physical alchemy. Look what I know, what I can do. It's all temporary. They're not doing it anyway. It's demonic entities inside them that causes it to happen. Family, this goes to the highest level. Your Pentagon, your White House, Chatham House, every king, every queen of the Merovingian bloodline, Carolingian bloodline, all of your hierarchy in the world today is part of this. It's close up front, close and personal. But they lose. Because God, when he sent his only begotten Son down, one on the cross, your freedom, but only when you confess the sin and take Jesus Christ as Savior to be written in the book of life. That was the remedy. He came to us first. Now you got to go to him. I wouldn't mess around if I were y'all. I don't need to go to school to translate the Bible. I've got the best teacher in the world, in the universe. That's Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, the Word of God, the authorized King James Bible. You trust him, he'll tell you. They had an irreverent attack on the authorized King James Bible since it was being developed. They started attacking before the King James was even written in 1588. God made sure that didn't happen. He sunk that Spanish Armada. The Vatican's murdered 68 million people between 1200 A.D. and 1800 A.D. The Vatican. Satan was working hard through the Vatican. murdered 68 million people. In 1 week, they murdered 70 to 100,000 people in France, St. Bartholomew Massacre. In 1 week, monks and Roman Catholic military army soldiers, Roman Catholic, murdered 70,000 to 100,000. Jasanovic, a concentration camp in Yugoslavia. Ustasha, Roman Catholic, murdered 750,000 Serbs, 60,000 Jews, and 26,000 Gypsies. Murdered them in a couple-year period in a concentration camp, Ustasha. Family, you see what we're dealing with? Look to God through the King James Bible and come to grips with that. That's between you and Him. You don't need a pope. You don't need a preacher. You don't need a rabbi. You don't need anybody except you, your spirit, your love of Jesus Christ, confession, repentance. Come to Him. You establish your own relationship with Him. You become the authority. You become the one He loves and one He brings knowledge to through the King James Bible and Holy Spirit. You be the one. Yeah. Liberalism gone amok. When some other false prophet tries to turn us away from what we know, we need to say, "Get thee hence behind me, Satan, for thou desirest not the things that are of God, but those that be of men." We need to get down to business, family, because that time's coming around. Instead of worrying about the Greek and Hebrew and the Book of Enoch and all this and all that and self-esteem and Christian financial seminars and all this stuff, Christian yoga, I kid you not, Harry Potter book being taught in Christian circles, yoga, all this nonsense, something to make you feel good, but nothing to give you salvation at all, to lead you away, what it does. The Lord's business is being left undone. We got to get out there on the street, divine appointments and seeing souls saved. He that winneth souls is wise. Wise. And living holy. That's what we talk about tonight. Not watching the entertainment. The entertainment, family. Every bit of Hollywood, going all the way back to Metropolis, the first movie, silent movie, one of them. That movie, all the way up till the movies going on today, TV. Movies. Every bit of it. It's controlled through the Council of Foreign Relations, Tavistock. Every one of them, every one of those high-level actors, actresses, songwriters, comedians, dancers, all of them, country music, rock and roll, hard rock, all of it, all of them, signed their name over to Lucifer in blood, literally, literally. I've talked about this before, but I'm going to stop there because I get caught up in it. That's why they're on TV. The music awards, every one of those music awards every year is, in fact, a satanic ritual, as is the Super Bowl in the halftime, right before your eyes, right under your nose. Baseball, in fact, is a satanic ritual. You know why? Because a baseball diamond is designed by Doubleday, who's a Freemason, who used the Masonic logo as the baseball field. And only one knows that at some high-level Masons on the high level. When you look at the baseball field, the pitch mound is the G. Depends how you want to look at it. The compass is the home plate, the top of the compass, and the intersection of the compass to the third base is the intersection of the square. First base, intersection of the square. And the tip of the square is the second base. Or you can flip it around. Depends how you want to look at it. I've heard it both ways. But that is, right under your nose, Masonic logo. The Masons worship Lucifer. The low-level Masons don't know this. They're not told this until later, around the 30th degree or thereabouts or somewhere, that Lucifer is who they worship. And the way they live their so-called Christian life is they're being lied to, and they do good works. But good works will not get you to heaven. You don't do good works, get baptized before you're born again. Doesn't work that way. They got it all backwards. Pray for the Masons that they renounce that blood oath. Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, pray for them that they renounce that oath they took against God. It's time to step out, family. Right now, you're in practice. Is this coming around? It seems that the falling away is increasing because the Pope broke Vatican law and bowed to a Medius princess. It seems, too, that people want to claim that Obama is the Antichrist. Well, how come Obama's bowing to the Prince of Saudi Arabia, bowing to other people? He bows to the Antichrist. Ain't going to do that. So you can't cancel him out. And Prince William, he doesn't fit any, very little of the 46 prophecies of the real Antichrist. You don't know who the Antichrist is yet. He hadn't popped up yet. America's not the Great Babylon. We're not even a country. We're a colony of England. We lost the Revolutionary War in 1776, 1783. We lost it. We became a corporation. Underneath King George III is Prince of the United States Incorporated. We've been lied to every July 4th. We've been lied to. We never won that war. We're put under financial bondage beginning 1789. 70-year bank cycles. I ain't told you about that in history books. We've never been under the Declaration of Independence. It's a lie. Family, we're not Great Babylon. They don't even have any money. The IMF controls it all through the Vatican. We're under debt. 1789. 1859, 1929, it's supposed to end 1999, but it didn't. So it went under stimulus plan. Man, America's broke. And we're Great Babylon? What's wrong with these preachers and so-called half-baked prophecies? I don't understand these people. Baloney. Great Babylon's yet to come up. Living holy and not watching Satan's TV and movies, because every one of them are based on satanic worship in one way or another. And just because they claim God, claim Jesus, oh, I love Jesus, all that doesn't mean nothing. Look at their fruits of what they're really doing, what they really say. Keeping the Lord's commandments to stop saying, I just don't measure up. That's Satan talking to you. Whoever loveth me keepeth my commandments. Simple. You do measure up, but we're all sinners. You just got Satan putting you down. Teaching your kids about Jesus. Stop giving them video games to keep them quiet. There's a lot of science going along with that. And demonic possession comes out of those Ouija boards. Absolutely. Comes out of those video games. No question about that. It's taken away their ability to focus on what's outside. They focus only on the video games. And it's narrowed their focus even in schools. They don't even teach script anymore. It's by design. You got the Pope that's uniting all the religions. You're one called Thomas Beck. This guy, Beck. Beck on TV. His role is to get the religions together, leading so many people astray like Oprah and all the rest of them. Family, if they're on TV on a high level, they are not for God. TBN, none of them. It's baloney. Your Hens, Rick Joyner, Rick Warrens, all these people. 501c3 churches, man, get out of there. The government controls the churches through the 501c3 with a very damaging, threatening letter saying you will preach what we tell you to do. You will do the Bibles we'll tell you to use. You'll do what we tell you to do. Will take away your status and so forth. These mega churches, man, get out of there. Get out of these things. They got nothing but rock and roll there. False prophets at the yin yang. Family, it's time to quit playing around. And ye fathers, bring children up into nurture and the admonition of the Lord. They're not doing it. Praying for your pastors, your families, enemies, strangers, acquaintances and friends, co-workers and government. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. And you see, the effectual, perfect prayer of a righteous man avails much. That's one thing that the Illuminati, the Jesuits, the atheists on the pulpit don't understand. It don't take too much to pray when you're righteous before God and you pray is powerful. Wives, submit to your husbands as a church subject of Christ, so that the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, learn to love your wives as you love yourself. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. This gay marriage, the adultery, the promulgation of what's in the news and in the TV and all that is designed to divide families. Ruth Bader Ginsburg came up with programs in 1978 that would be used to divide families. Oh, she sure did. I got a copy of it. Equal men to women. Men and women equal. The Rockefeller Foundation funded the feminist movement to divide and separate families. That was the sole purpose of it. Divide families. The feminist movement was designed for that. These are facts. It's confirmed. It's known, and I'm going to move into the story, into the lesson today. I'm getting there. Is Matthew Staver, founder and chairman of the Liberty Council, recently said, "Destroy the family, and our nation will inevitably crumble." Inevitably crumble. Families are the bedrock of our society and culture. They say, "Destroy the family, and our nation will inevitably crumble." Well, he has no idea what he just said, how prevalent that really is, because that has exactly been the plan since 1776 by Adam Weishaupt, who developed the World Revolutionary Plan, was to destroy families. This principle and strategy is quoted by Lenin: to destroy the country, destroy the families. And then they decided how to destroy the families many different ways. And this is exactly what's going on today. And people aren't paying any attention. They're caught up in their lives of entertainment and sports and anger and all kinds of sort of things going on. Education is taken away. Control. And people don't realize it. I've tried for now 5 or 6 years to try to bring the truth out. It's not easy. Because people are taught. I had to forget everything I ever learned to know what the truth was. And I did it. I broke free. Finally. But then when you break free, it has a downside. You can't go back. You see things for what they really are. And then when you go through the six stages, there's six stages you go through, actually. When you go through those six stages, then you have a desire to want to help people, to tell people, "Look, look, look, stop what you're doing. Look what they're doing." Then people say, "You're crazy." You say, "Well, you want to see the evidence?" "No, I don't want to see the evidence." Every time they want to see it, they get mad at you for showing it to them. Can you imagine? Sometimes it can get frustrating. Brock Chisholm, director of the United Nations World Health Organization, back some time ago, he said, I quote, "To achieve world government," and that's the government of Satan, by the way, "it is necessary to remove from the minds of men their individualism, loyalty to family traditions, national patriotism, and religious dogmas." Did you hear what I said? This is their agenda in the Humanist Manifesto. Is to remove the loyalty to family traditions. Destroy families, you destroy the country. These are facts. These are not conspiracy theories whatsoever. These are bona fide facts stated by them themselves. Confirmed. Just as confirmed as you breathe oxygen to live, these things I'm telling you are correct. The evidence is clear. What do you do? Well, when you talk about the inerrancy of the Bible, the originals that they talk about, they all hung up on these originals. With all this talk about originals, look what God thinks when you look at Jeremiah 36, 23, and 32. God had Jeremiah to write down his words. What happened then? Well, the originals were destroyed and Jeremiah rewrote them. If the originals were that important to the Lord, he wouldn't have let them be destroyed. Don't place emphasis on originals that God doesn't place there either. God will have his word carried through one way or the other. He's way ahead of the ball game. The New Testament is full of warnings about Satan, false prophets, as trying to deceive us. Would you say that they're given to us in vain? No, they're not. Check out everything that comes your way, and that in the light of the Word of God, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. We are in a war, and it's a spiritual war, not carnal. You're fighting a contending for the faith once delivered to the saints. And the saints wasn't Eusebius or Origen or Augustine or any of those people. Jerome, those weren't saints. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, James, Jude, those are the saints, the real ones. The Catholic Church can't just up and call somebody a saint. They got to clean out their own closet first. Even your Baptist ministers and all these today are following the Calvinist point of view. And that's certainly wrong. Focusing on the Geneva Bible? No, what are you talking about? Everybody's afraid of the King James. And even the ones using the King James start saying, and I had a Baptist minister tell me this. I'm Baptist. And that Baptist minister tell me. The King James is a good Bible. We use it at our church. I said, oh, okay. I said, well, I'm glad you all see the only true word of God there. I punched him. I poked him a little bit to see what he'd say. He said, well, yeah, but if you really want. He told me this. With his family sitting there at the steakhouse next to my chair at table. He said, if you really want to know the truth, though, you got to read the original Greek and Hebrew. I said, man, this is a cut and paste, copy pasted right out of some kind of school. I said, oh, man, he busted my bubble. I said, no, sir, you don't. I said, he said, what? I said, no, you don't. I said, Pastor, you're wrong. I said, I'm not giving you opinion. What you're telling me is not correct. Now, they didn't like that too much, but I'm sorry, that's the way it goes. I said, God never intended for 7 billion people, the world population, to learn Greek. And it doesn't mean that somebody has learned Greek and Hebrew translated for somebody else. The Vatican tried that. They murdered 68 million people, and they controlled what was coming out by saying, well, we know Latin, you don't, we'll interpret it for you. Oh, baloney. God's way ahead of that. It's garbage. Family. Living the Christian life, not going to be easy. Now, Thursday night, we talked about victory over Satan. And we know the Christian life is a life of warfare. You have a terrible enemy who seeks to destroy us. That enemy is Satan, supernaturally. And let me tell you, Satan does not represent evil. He is evil, and he's real, and the demons are like little specks of light. They're demons, and they're energy balls. And the fallen angels are nothing but energy orbs. They use avatars, they use cellas, they use possession, channeling, and they can manifest. They manifest themselves in the UN meetings, you understand? They manifest themselves in places like the Wesak Festival. It's given in Mount Shasta, California. They are there. Every year, the fallen angels, the same ones of the Old Testament, sons of God, are physically present, even today, at these festivals that they have, WESOC Festival, or in the UN meetings, or manifested into these meetings. You understand how deep this goes? And they control man's activities. They control the Vatican. They control the secret societies at the highest level. Your Vatican, your Queen Elizabeth, and all these Merovingian bloodline, your high-level Freemasons, Knights of Columbus, the very highest level, your so-called Zionists and family, they control them. They're nothing more than mere slaves of the fallen angels. That's all. It's not a Jewish conspiracy. It's not a not even a Vatican conspiracy. It's not even a Freemasons or Knights Templar conspiracy, any of that. They're nothing more than slaves of the fallen angels. It's a satanic conspiracy. Ran by Lucifer, Satan. And it's physical and it's spiritual. Satan's object is to destroy people. His main weapons are deceit and lies. He is prince of this world. Jesus Christ will come back and take it. But right now, he's prince of the world. Given over to him by the power of sin. The Lord Jesus came into the world, not as Joel Osteen says, so we can live an abundant life. That's a lie. The Lord Jesus came into this world to destroy the works of the devil. And that's what he came here for. He accomplished that. The cross is the place where Christ redeemed men from the power of Satan. And the cross is also where Satan was defeated. You see? This hasn't been taught. It should be taught. The fallen angels fear, tremble, and literally get sick, confirmed by Swedenborg in the 18th century, when they hear the name of Jesus Christ. The fallen angels, the Nephilim, they are in your deep underground military bases today. And when God removes a protective hedge, they will be released on this earth, as in the days of Noah, so shall it come. And your only defense is the name of Jesus and being born again. Not copper-plated weapons and all that and copper-plated bullets or crucifixes that you hold up and go, ha, back, you know. Or garlic running around your neck or a silver bullet, you know, whatever. All that's nonsense. The militaries are, well, let's put it like this. The military is making it look like they're against each other. They're preparing for the confrontation with the Nephilim. They're not telling people about that. They know the Nephilim. You have a split in the fallen angels. You have a split in what they call the white hats and the Anunnaki and all this other nonsense. They're fallen angels, and they're all, both sides of them are evil. You have no good side, no bad side. They're all bad. The Great White Brotherhood are the fallen angels, the sons of God, the hierarchy. They're all called the same thing, different names. But they're all the same. Fallen angels. It's called the dialectic. I'm not going to go there. I'm going to stop there before I get caught up in that. I've talked about that before, but that's New World Order stuff. This is Bible study. Christ's victory over the powers of darkness is our victory. What he did as our representative. And we share in his death. We share in his burial, we share in his resurrection, and you share in his victory over Satan. And our new spiritual position, you're seated with Christ far above the powers of darkness. You just got to recognize that. You see? To share Christ's throne means to share his authority. We can speak and act in his name. And our defense against Satan's accusation is the blood of the Lamb. Your weapon is the word of our testimony. And this means that we can declare to Satan the great facts of Christ's victory over him. There's your word. And not only has the Lord Jesus delivered us from the power of our enemies, But the victorious risen Christ himself lives inside you. So how do we live the Christian life? If you go to Exodus 1 to 17, Old Testament. Oh, by the way, I don't have any breaks this 2 hours. We go straight through. Can you hang in there? I don't have anybody influencing or getting in the way. Sometimes you need to do that. I do need to tell you that my website is watchmanchronicles.com. I need to tell you that I'm here today and I'm able to broadcast, soon to have an FM because of Lisa K. Candles. I'm much indebted for their sponsorship. I ask that you support them, please. Lisa K. Candles is my sponsor. And without them, I would not be able to be here today. No way. Mark and Lisa, and then Tim, my web designer, and then they all just come out of the woodwork, man. Just poof, there it was, and I'm like, wow, whoa. Man, it's moving faster than I can keep up with it myself. You see? I got preachers and pastors. I can't believe how they, you know, they come up with this absolute total nonsense about Yahweh, and Lucifer means Lucifer, light bearer, but found in Isaiah 14:12. And coupled with the epithet of son of the morning, they're saying it clearly signifies a bright star. No, it doesn't. That's a lie. And probably what people call the morning star. No, it's not at all. That's not from a pastor. That's from someone misled. And they say that symbolically representation of the lies of the king of Babylon. That's another lie that they're taught in these theology schools. His splendor and his fall. That's a lie from the pit of hell. And so, applying it from Saint Jerome downward to Satan and the fall from the heaven probably comes from, they say, the fact that the Babylonian Empire is in Scripture. These people believe this. Pray for them. These are pastors coming up with this nonsense, this lies from Satan coming through these schools of theology. They manipulate the Bible. They will have to answer to God for this. I'll pray for these pastors, this one here I'm talking about that's telling me this. Right now, this second. This is new. This is current. This is 15 minutes ago. Pray for these pastors. They're going to hell. But pray that they will repent. Pray they'll seek the true word of God and get away from this heretical preaching and teaching in these biblical colleges. And stay with the true word of God. Family, people are so moving away. I want y'all to know that. This is current. People are so deceived. It's unbelievable. My mind just can't fathom this. I just don't understand this. One of my chat members says, witnessing is merely setting the example. Witnessing is demonstrating the joy of the Lord in our work. Taking that burden off, that's what your Joel Osteens and so forth are about, is to make you feel good about this and that. But when God says, well, Tom, you're going bad here now, he'll send you conviction and guilt, which is a good thing. It's going to cause you to feel burdened. He'll say, but put your burden on me. And when we do, it's gone. And he'll bless you for it. But here, listen to rock and roll music in church and this mega churches and all this stuff. No. It just leaves it there. In Exodus 20, verse 1 to 17. This is disturbing sometimes to me because I don't understand. These people go through colleges. They get degrees. And they come out with this nonsense. it just really goes all through me. I guess it bothers me bad. I just don't, the deception that they're put through. They're cursed in these Bible colleges. That's all I can tell you. There's no other explanation for it. When they come into those colleges and universities, they're cursed when they come out. I mean, literally. Exodus 20. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything there is in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Family, these crucifixes that you got out and about, they don't mean anything. Those beads that they have, the prayer beads, it means nothing. The Muslims have prayer beads. The Catholics have their beads as well. Everybody's got beads. Hindus have their beads. Everybody's got beads. Everybody's got symbols and all this and all that. That means nothing. A crucifix just shows you across the way. Actually, it's Saturnalia worship of Satan. Because when you fold the cross, it's a three-dimensional cube. And that cube that the Jews wear on their forehead when they pray and all that, it's the same thing as the Mayans did. The Mayans wrote the circle. And the cube is Saturnalia worship. Worship of Satan, Saturn. The seat of Satan. Family, that's what that means. This is serious. No graven image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above. Nothing. There's no crying statues of Mary. Statues of Jesus. What are they doing? They lost their minds. I told y'all about the stained glass windows, what that's really all about. I'm not going there tonight, today, but I've told you what that is all about. Stained glass windows in churches. Hope you knew the truth behind that one. Thou shalt not, Exodus 25, 20 verse 5. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. I've heard a preacher say that you can say the word GD. It's not really taking the name of God in vain. And then the Masons think that swearing to God not to reveal secrets is not taking the God name in vain. You got to be kidding me. What's wrong with it? Everything's wrong with it. It's violating what God's told us not to do. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days I shall labor and do all thy work. Then you know that Jesus fulfilled that. So on Sunday is sun worship. They try to get you to sun worship. And on Saturday, SDA, Seventh-day Adventists, say Saturday is your worship day. They can't get it straight. I'll tell you what it is. Saturday is Saturnalia worship. Worship of Saturn, Satan. On Sunday, it's the sun god, Baal. You worship God because Jesus Christ didn't come to abolish the law, but fulfill it. Fulfill it, he did. So 7 days a week is worship. You may rest one day, whatever day you pick. You don't have to be Sunday or Saturday. Same thing with 10% tithing. It's baloney. Jesus Christ fulfilled that law. Holy Spirit tells you who to give to, how much to give to. It's not 10%. That's a lie coming from the pulpit. Same thing about baptism. You don't have to be baptized, but doesn't mean you don't do it anyway. Baptism does not secure your salvation, but faith and belief and confession of faith and belief does. Baptism is simply an outward show of it. But there's congregations from one to the other that says, well, you have to be baptized. No. Another one says you they got all kinds of requirements, even in Baptist churches, Methodist churches, all different. 7 days a week you worship Satan, but 7 days a week you should worship God, not just on Sunday, not just on Saturday, and not just on the occult holidays. Every single holiday, all of them, are based on Constantine and based on the occult practices. Christmas, Easter, every single one of them. And the King James Bible, it proves that Easter is pagan. But the other Bibles don't show that. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou not thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor the maidservant, nor the cattle, nor the stranger that's within the gates. And that's the Old Testament. But Jesus Christ fulfilled that. So it became 7 days a week, not one. That was the old law. But Jesus Christ fulfilled the old law. He didn't abolish it. He fulfilled it. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thunderings and lightnings and the noise of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking, and when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. That's clear. Galatians 3. Is again part of today's scripture. Galatians 3, verse 13. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Galatians 3:13, that brings up a lot of points that I've actually heard recently. When you look at 3:13, when you talk about redeeming, you're talking about buying back or to deliver by paying the price. The curse of the law is what? Is death. The penalty for breaking the commandments. You see, Christ delivered those under the law from paying the penalty of death because he demanded the law by the law. Paul, undoubtedly speaking primarily here of believing Jews when he uses the pronoun us. The Jews now were representatives of the entire human race then. You had a theologian, Sindelina Jones, quote, the Galatians imagined that Christ only half purchased them, and that they had to purchase the rest by their submission to circumcision and other such Jewish rites and ceremonies. Hence their readiness to be led away by false teachers to mix up Christianity and Judaism. You see, Paul says here, according to the Welsh translation, Christ has wholly purchased us from the curse of the law. So, Christ redeemed us by dying in their place and enduring the wrath of God against sins. The wrath of God is coming once again, but on this earth, when the tribulations actually begin. It will be worldwide. It will not be localized on TV. You see, the curse of God fell on him as man's substitute. He didn't become sinful himself, but man's sins were placed upon him. Unlike what Joyce Myers and Copeland and the rest of them say, that Jesus went to hell and was punished. He was the first born-again Christian that came out. What? That's what they say. That's certainly a lie. They went so far as to say that Jesus Christ was the first one to go to hell and be punished and came out of it. You see what they do? Christ didn't redeem us from the curse of the law by keeping the Ten Commandments perfectly during his lifetime. You see, the Scripture does not teach that his obedience to the Father and to the law is reckoned to us. Rather, he delivered men from the law by taking on the dreadful curse of death, in death. You see? And so, moving apart from his own death, there could be no salvation. Family, that's why there's no aliens in outer space. That's ridiculous. There's no humans created before Adam and Eve. That's also nonsense that Christian Identity comes up with, and Arnold Murray and Shepherd's Chapel and all that garbage that they spit out. Adam and Eve were the first. Original sin was God's genius, because by one man all were condemned. By one man, all are born again and are saved. The law taught that when condemned criminals were hanged on a tree is a sign of their being under the curse of God. You'll actually find that if you look at Deuteronomy 21:23. His body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day, for he is at hanged as a curse of God, that thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for inheritance. In my opinion only here, I think that is a prophecy of a coming Judas when he hung on the tree. You see, you have those who say, well, the Bible is contradictory because Judas hung himself or Judas threw himself down. Well, no, there's no contradiction. When Judas hung himself, a period of time went by and nobody took him down. Then he fell because the body decomposed and splattered himself all over when he fell in that over the ravine. So the Bible is not contradictory. And here it says, he shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day, for he is that hanged as accursed of God. So here the Holy Spirit sees in that passage that prophecy of the manner in which the Savior would die to bear the curse on for his creatures. So you could look at it several different ways. Because that's what happened to Judas. But it's also a prophecy about Jesus as well. But see, Jesus was not crucified on a tree. But it gives that prophecy of the manner in which the Savior would die to bear the curse of his creatures. He is hung between heaven and earth as though unworthy of either. But in his death by crucifixion, he is also said to have been hung by a tree when you go to Acts 5:30. 1 Peter 2:24. It talks about that. Galatians 3:13. So, we move on along. In Galatians 3:14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. That's why we don't call him Yahweh. Yeshua, Joshua. God waited till the English language was designed and created. His name is God. His name is Jehovah, the Old Testament. And there's like five different types of Jehovah. Not Yahweh. His name's not Yeshua, Joshua. His name is Jesus. In the old language, Greek, it's Isus, I-E-S-U-S. Then they went to J. Yeah, buddy. Not Joshua, none of the other nonsense. Yeshua and Joshua are now, as they're admitting, the names of Sananda Emmanuel, the fallen angel. Look it up, you'll find it to be true. I've been warning people about this for years. Now they're admitting it. Jesus Christ. They want to get away from the King James Bible. People want to get away from saying Jesus Christ. They want to get away from the only thing that's going to help them. But that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be by but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth nor addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is of Christ. This I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. You see, God's promise to Abraham was unconditional. And you go back and look. It didn't depend on the works at all. God simply agreed to give Abraham a seed, and that was Christ. Although he had no child, Abraham believed God. And thus believing also in the Christ to come, he is justified. So the coming of the law 430 years later wouldn't affect the promise of salvation in any way, shape, form, or fashion. It can neither revoke the promise nor add conditions to it. Your Christian identity, and folks today say, well, that was revoked, and that the Gentiles now are the chosen. That's not true. You're grafted into. You're adopted, yes, but you didn't take over. We're all equal now with the Jews. We're all equal. But still, they have that seed through Abraham, the royal bloodline. Ishmael, Arabs have it too. Isaac, Jacob have it too. They're half brothers. Tribe of Dan disinherited. The Judaizers were suggesting the law that coming 430 years after the promise, but it had the effect of annulling it. Not at all. Paul said, in effect, quote, the promise was like a will, had been ratified by death, the covenant sacrifice. In Genesis 15, 7 to 11. Also, if you go to Hebrews 9, 15 to 22, could not be revoked. So, this 430 years that we're talking about here are reckoned from the time that God confirmed the Abrahamic covenant to Jacob. Just as Jacob was preparing to enter Egypt, and they extend to the giving of the law about 3 months after the Exodus. His unconditional promise. God don't go back on his promises. So the key verse tonight is Galatians 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's pretty much slam dunk. But you got to pay your bill. Say what? You got to pay your bill. Your bill is to confess your sins before him and repent. That means to humble yourself. And those that went through theology school, I feel for you. I almost wanted to not long ago, and somebody talked me out of it, and I'm so glad they did. I wouldn't have made it through the theology schools anyway. They'd have fired me, threw me out, probably threw me in jail. I don't know. But I sure wouldn't be quiet listening to their garbage they speak, these professors at Harvard and these other professors wherever, Wake Forest. I don't care where they're from. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every eye shall see him. And that does not say in the name of Yeshua. It doesn't say in the name of Yahweh. It doesn't say in the name of Yeshua. Nothing else does it say but the name of Jesus. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And in Matthew 24, verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn that they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And family, this is not some silly UFO neither. Oh, you're going to see the silly UFOs. That's called disclosure. Supernatural, whiz bang, smoke and mirrors and technology. I ain't going to talk about it now, but that's what you're going to see down the road. They got this lie set up. That's a great falling away coming. The law of God. To see what part the law had in becoming Christians, and I don't mean Christianity. Christians have not very... Christians... Ah, boy, that was confusing. Christians, which is not confusing, have little to do with Christianity. Christianity is a religion. Christianity, Protestantism, behind the deal, behind the closed door deal with Martin Luther, the Vatican worked with him to create Protestantism. That's correct. Martin Luther was no hero. Martin Luther did follow, though. God allowed it because it set up something else. But see, the Vatican created Protestantism as a matter of creating chaos to bring order. Martin Luther was a Jesuit. Israel today isn't real Israel either. But God allowed the tribe of Dan to do that, to set up the true Jews to take over. For Jesus to come down and take his place. And the saints to rule beside him. That's yet to happen. Christ made it possible for us to fulfill the righteous requirements of the law. How do we live the Christian life? It's hard to do nowadays, even from the pulpit. I found 33 ways a lot of these pastors and preachers and so forth, Calvinists and so forth, are leading their flock away from the truth. 33 different ways. Let me cover that starting next week to show you how they do it. The law of God, commandments of God. Where did the law come from? Well, you say, wait a minute, is this a trick question? No, it came from God. On Mount Sinai, God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses. And God wrote these commandments on tablets of stone with his own finger. It wasn't Moses chiseling it out. It's God's own finger supernaturally putting those Ten Commandments in rock and stone. And in these Ten Commandments, God said, you're to love and worship me supremely, above all, and allow nothing to come before me. We're not to make any images nor bow down to them or not to take the name in vain, his name in vain, or you're to keep the Sabbath a holy day. You are to honor your parents. You're not to commit murder. You're not to commit adultery. You're not to steal, not to lie. You're not to covet or desire something that belongs to someone else. Freemason's blood oath takes them away from all that. It causes them to see it. To do everything else that's against the law of God. And yet by doing good works, they think they're redeemed. They're not at all. It just digs a hole deeper. God's law includes more than just 10 commandments. There are other commandments of God in the Bible. These are included in his holy law. God's law is the expression of his will. It tells us what things are right, what things are wrong in God's sight. You see? If you go to Deuteronomy 6:18. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 18, And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. That's pretty clear. Oh, by the way, I've been notified that our ministry here is increasing quite exponentially. Here in Mount Airy, North Carolina, I'll have my own FM eventually. But right now in Holiday, Tennessee, we're being broadcasted on Holiday Life Radio Network, 88.1 FM. The signal's been upped in Holiday, Tennessee. And now we have an FM station in Tennessee. We'll have one here in North Carolina. It's growing, family, little by little. You know, when you break God's law, we commit sin. And we know that sin results in death, the Bible says in 1 John 3:4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. This is what's going on today. The things in the news, the politics, all that stuff, is all involved, sports, everything. I mean everything in your life is designed to keep you away from knowing this truth, to keep you from living the life. People sitting in church just getting kind of preached at, but nobody's being led. Now, I've attended the church the past week or two, a couple of weeks, that the preacher was leading them. He had a good heartfelt message. I said, wow, this is rare. The mega churches keep you away from the truth, make you feel good sitting there, but they're not leading you to the truth. People, not the preachers and pastors and rabbis and popes and whatever, are not talking about the eternity of hell, how bad it is there. They're not talking about Revelation and the coming in times. Instead, they're lying or they're deceived and following these people on TV, which you can't follow. Have men kept God's law? No, they haven't. No one other than Lord Jesus Christ himself. He's the only one that can break the first seal. Hadn't been broken yet, but he's the only one that can break that seal that's ever lived. He is the Son of Man. He's the only begotten Son of God. He's both. No one but Jesus Christ has ever kept the law of God perfectly. In Romans 3, verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. And we've talked about this flesh, and your enemies is a flesh. But what the law could not do, because God's law is good, it's holy, and it's righteous. But there are three things that you can write down here, I'm going to give you, that it could not do. Write down number one, the law could not forgive sin. Number two, the law could not give eternal life. Number three, the law could not make men good. So, the law told men what they should do, but it could not give them the power to do it. It's where free will comes from. Even the angels have free will. Because they sure made the wrong decision when they rebelled against God. If the law could not save men and it could not make them good, then what did the law actually do? It did three things. Number one, the law showed men what sin really is. And the law condemned the sinner. Number two, it condemned the sinner. And number three, the law showed men that they needed a Savior. All through that Old Testament. Yes, Paul cited Isaiah. But nobody cited Enoch except Jude. And Jude just talked about what Enoch said. It doesn't say anywhere in the Bible about the book of Enoch. It says what Enoch has said was passed down through the generations. No book of Enoch. That's tricky how they do that. The case of a man in the Old Testament, and the law did three things. One, the law showed men what sin was. We'll talk about that now. Before the law was given, the man who stole something might say that he, didn't know it was a sin. I didn't know it was a sin. Somebody might say. But after the law was given, when a man took something belonging to somebody else, he knew he'd sinned. The law shows him that he was a sinner. In Romans 3, verse 20. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. In Romans 3:20 it says, the King James Bible, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's straight out of the King James. So number one, the law showed men what sin was. Number two, the law condemned the sinner. Because God's law not only showed man that he was a sinner, but did something else. It condemned him to death. You don't hear this in mega churches. You're not judging anybody. You're telling them. This is what the book says. Holy Spirit's already doing it. You're just reading the Scripture. While these preachers, some of them out there in the mega churches, afraid to read the Scripture from the King James Bible from it. Why? They sidestep it. Ezekiel 18, verse 20. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. Neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. The law, number three, the law showed men that they needed a Savior. Now here we go. What happened when a man saw that he was a sinner? When you saw you were a sinner, you got to let go of your pride and ego. We justify our sin. You can justify murder if you want to. Don't make it good nonetheless. You can justify stealing a box of pens. Oh, they got all kinds of pens. I won't miss this. You steal a dime, same thing as stealing $10 million. It's what's in the heart. If I commit adultery, actually do it, is the exact same thing as looking on a woman and saying, whoa, I'd love to, It's just, I've just committed adultery by looking and desiring. If I say, man, I'd like to take that thing he's got, that, you see that money? That car, I'd love to have that car, wouldn't you? I have committed covetousness as if I'd actually done it, as actually if I stole the car, if I thought it, I've already done it in God's eyes. That's tough. When a man saw he was a sinner, condemned to death, he realized he needed a Savior. By faith, he brought a lamb and offered it as a sacrifice for his sins. God taught Adam and Eve how to sacrifice. Adam and Eve was the first blood sacrifice of God because blood started flowing through their veins when they sinned. They started dying the day they sinned. They had to populate the earth. It's long term. But God killed the first animals to show them how to sacrifice. And they trained Cain and Abel. Abel did the right thing. Cain didn't, as they were trained to do. They didn't just figure this out. Well, I'm just going to do it this way. Abel said, I'll do it this way. They were told what to do. Cain went his own way, like man does. Did the sacrifice of this lamb take away the sins? No. But when he offered his lamb, he's looking forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God, and God accepted his sacrifice. That's what that's for, to look forward to the coming of Jesus Christ. You see? What did the law do for this man we're talking about? What did it do for him? Well, the law showed him he's a sinner. He needs a Savior. The law showed men they need a Savior. The Vatican followed up on this in the 6th century when they created Islam. The Vatican created the religion of Islam. Because the Arabs were not the Arabs, the sons and daughters of Ishmael, the Arabs, in the, before the 6th century, weren't swallowing the church fathers' dogma, Roman Catholicism. So they said, we'll invent a religion for them. They called it Islam. That's correct. Then they said, you have a Messiah coming named Muhammad. Muhammad was in the bloodline of Queen Elizabeth II. Do you know that? Through King Edward III? Satan's been all working through the back all the time. The Vatican put this up. The Vatican created the Messiah for the Muslims. The Vatican created Islam as a religion, 6th century. All it did was copy what God already did in supernatural form. He won't hear that in any place, too many places. This is true. They even have their own law that inspired by Satan. Well, after all, the NIV Bible is inspired by Satan because it took the Bibles out, Westcott and Hort. So don't think that it's not. It is. Revelation 22, verse 18, 19. You don't add to nor take away from any words of the book, and that means the King James Bible. From Genesis to Revelation is what it means. That encompasses the entire Bible. Man realized he needed a Savior. What does the law do for us? It does three things for us. It did for the same as the Old Testament. The law showed us what sin was, what sin is. The law condemns us. You don't hear that in the pulpits anymore, do you? They used to, not anymore. The law shows us that we need Christ as our Savior. Now, we've come to see the purpose of the law. What is it? Well, as I've said, the purpose of the law is to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. Bible says in Galatians 3, verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us into Christ, that we might be justified by faith. You see? Christ is our Savior. We've seen that the law brings us to Christ. Now, what I want to do, I want to move into what Christ did for us when he saved us. When you took him as your Savior, what happened? Well, number one. Are you ready? Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Redeemed us from the curse of the law. And then number two, Christ delivered us from the dominion of the law. And number three, Christ came back to live in us. The disciples saw him leaving in the cloud. He shall come down in the same way at Armageddon to begin the thousand-year millennium. It hadn't started yet there, Calvinist, Preterist. It hadn't started yet. You better get out of there. Renounce that Calvinist view. It's leading you straight to hell. Get out of that preterist viewpoint. It's incorrect. It's wrong. But can you imagine disciples looking up? Wow, look at him. He's going. Where are you going? Come back. Don't leave us alone. He came back in the Pentecost as the Holy Spirit. Three are one. Three are separate, but three are one. That's a mystery that a human being cannot fathom, cannot even understand it. I don't have any problem not understanding it. Mankind does not understand the supernatural. The Pope doesn't. The professors at Harvard have no clue. But you know, it was really ironic that those that follow Satan, that murder on the highest level, Luciferians, the ones that attend Bohemian Grove, Pat Buchanan is a high-level Luciferian. So is Bush, and so is Clinton, Obama. They're Luciferians. They are not Christian. They're not Muslim. This is a facade that's been given us for generations. These are secret society members, followers of Satan and Lucifer, masquerading as whatever they want to say. When the disciples saw him leave, say, he's leaving us. No, he came back 10 days or so later to live inside them. Could get much closer than that. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Let's talk about that. You see, the law demanded perfect obedience. Those who broke God's holy law came under the curse of the law. If you go to Galatians 3:10, for as many as of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Because we've broken God's law, we're condemned to death. But Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, you might ask yourself, it begs the question, how did he do it? Well, by his death for us, he bore the penalty of the broken law for us. And the Bible actually says in Galatians 3:13, further down, you look at it, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And there you go. Now, number two, Christ delivered us from the dominion of the law. Now, you might ask yourself, what does that mean? It took me a while to pull this up. It's talking about delivering us from the dominion of the law. Christ not only delivered us from the curse of the law, as you read in the scripture, but he also delivered us from the dominion of the law. And that is, he delivered us from the old creation in Adam, the old man, where the law reigns over men. So now, finally, we come down to the question, how about dominion of the law? By our death with him, we died with Christ. we passed out of the old creation into the kingdom of God's Son. So we're no longer slaves of sin under the law, but we are sons of God under grace. And sons of God in the New Testament is not, by any stretch of the imagination, the same reference to sons of God in the Old Testament. That's why there's differentiation between the sons of God of the Old Testament and the sons of man mentioned in the Old Testament. Two entirely different DNA beings. In the New Testament, you're all sons and daughters of God through Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, the sons of God, as evidenced by Job 38, verse 7, were the fallen angels with a DNA, with a flesh body here on earth. But flesh body, not made of carbon-based DNA, but copper-based DNA, was the DNA for the fallen angels that took form. You see, when God's angels come down, they're in physical form, or they're in spiritual form. It depends. Entertain strangers unaware, for you don't know. And the ones that visited Lot, that the men outside of Sodom wanted to partake in homosexual activity, they came down, the two angels that with Lot in the house, sat down to eat. And the angel that slew 175,000 Assyrians, I'd say that's pretty much physical to me. Yeah. Yes, they have physical bodies, but it's not the flesh based on carbon DNA, but a different flesh, you see, that they can manipulate and change. The Bible says in Romans 6:14, For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. And Jesus came back to live in us, number three, because as God's children, we show our Heavenly Father we love Him by keeping His commandments. Now, how do you keep God's commandments? It's not easy, is it? The Lord Jesus has done something to make it possible. He came back to live in us. Now, why would He come back to live in us? In the spirit form. His spirit with our spirit. Well, He came back that He might fulfill the righteous requirements of the law in us. And under the law, tried to keep God's righteous commandments, requirements, but failed. Now the Lord Jesus has come to live in me. He says, I will fulfill them in you. He fulfills the righteousness of the law in us, inside us. Now how does this work? Well, you know that the law commands us to love others. Now, this command of God is good and it's right and it's righteous. But I've not been able to keep it. Why? Christ has come to live in me. Does He love other people? Yes, He does. He died for them too. So when Christ's love dwells richly in your heart, in my heart, I shall love even my enemies. Not easy to do. Satan's accuser. He keeps us all busy. What the law could not do by commanding me from without, or you, Christ does in us, in me. Law, thou shalt love thy neighbor to thyself. Grace, the law of God, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Now, how do we live this Christian life, finally? Galatians 2:20, when we talk about the Apostle Paul, Galatians 2:20, he told us how to live the Christian life. And there it is in Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's a key verse in our life as a Christian. Not in Christianity, but as a Christian, a follower of Jesus. Jesus said, follow me. He didn't say follow Christianity. He said, follow me. Christianity was designed by the fallen angels. Philosophy was designed by, all religions were designed by the fallen angels. Christianity is so divided, you say, oh, I'm a Christian. Well, they think Christianity. Well, let's say which one. And they're not all the same, are they? Uh-uh, they're not. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Christian has little to do with Christianity. King James Bible has little to do with Christianity. Christianity has its own Bibles, its own doctrine, and it's so scattered and divided like rice in a wedding. I have been crucified with Christ. The fact that we are crucified with Christ is the basis for victory over our every enemy in the Christian life. And by our death, burial, resurrection with Christ, we've been delivered from the power of sin, ourself and the flesh, the world, and Satan. It's our standing in Christ we must count on. And remember, our faith in our standing makes it real in our life. I've said this before. I'll say it again. Faith in our standing makes it real in our life. It is no longer that I live, but Christ lives in me. You know, God had a purpose in crucifying us with Christ. What was it? Well, God crucified us with Christ in order that our old self-life might be brought to an end so that Christ might live his life in us. The Bible actually says, though, that Christ is the power of God. He lives in us. He has made unto us everything we need. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:30, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, it says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness. Sanctification, there is the word, and redemption. Now, how can you be righteous? It's hard these days, you know. The answer is Christ in me. He is my righteousness. How can you be holy? The answer is Christ in me. He is my holiness. How can you overcome temptation according to the prayer? The answer is, you got it, Christ in me. He is the victorious one. And how do you fulfill the righteousness of the law? Three guesses, the first two don't count. It's Christ in me. Because he's the only one who always does the will of God. You know about Philippians 4:13. A very powerful, powerful verse. One that people forget sometimes. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. They say in the New Age that do as I wilt. That life which I now live in the flesh shall live in faith. And that faith which is in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Now, we've been talking about the Christian life. But what was it? Is it you trying to do the best you can? No. I try to be the best when I can. No, it's not that at all. It is you're trying in your own strength to fulfill the law? No, it's not. Is it Christ helping you to live the Christian life? No. It's not this either. The Christian life is Christ living in life in you. In Philippians 1:21. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That's how you live the Christian life. We live it by faith. And that means to live it trusting Christ to live his life in you, in us, in me, in you. Christ lives in us as we count on him to live his life in us. He is faithful to do this. He will always keep his promises. So won't you start today to recognize him? Use the true word of God. And the preachers and pastors and rabbis and popes come up to you with this other heresy and so forth. Different Bibles, all this other stuff. Just witness to them. Pray for them. And realize that Christ lives in you. When you take him as your Savior. When you wake in the morning, say to yourself, Christ lives in me. Remind yourself of this often during the day. Christ lives in you, in me. Rejoice in all that Christ and all that he means to you. Talk often with him. Tell him you love him. Hear his small voice that comes to you. And remember Philippians 4:13. God gave the law that you might see the need of Christ. He gave Christ to you. He might fulfill the righteousness of the law in you. Family, I'm going to conclude now this Bible study. And I appreciate you all visiting my house here in Watchman Chronicles. And my sponsor is Lisa K. Candles. My website is WatchmanChronicles.com. Tomorrow, Sunday, Monday, begins part one of the Watchman Chronicles show. Radio show program I do, as I mentioned before, themicroeffect.com, themicroeffect.com. Then that night, 8 to 10, is revelationradionetwork.org. Hit the link for Blog Talk Radio. You'll find it. Family, spiritual warfare is the rule, is the way to go. It's going to be tested. It's coming. When you say the word to the Nephilim that show up, if you're there and you see the Nephilim coming at you, and they will eventually in the future whenever this happens, you say in the name of Yahweh, in the name of Yahshua, you're going to die. These names will not save you. But the name of Jesus has power. It's that important. This is why they removed from the other verses, the other Bibles, Matthew 17:21. They took that verse out. The King James has it. The other Bibles removed it. They do not want you to know that by prayer and fasting, you'll have to deal with the stronger demons that's yet to come. As in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the end times. Those days are around the corner. It's very important you know this. Tuesday night, we're talking about consecration. Tuesday night, 7 to 10, 7 to 9, whoops. Tuesday night, beginning part one of the Bible study. So, family, I want to conclude now. And I'm going to end in prayer, and then we got to go. Father, thank you for your holy law, which shows us what is good and right in your sight. I want to do your will, Lord, always. Work in us, work in me, that is which well pleasing in your sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. And thank you, Lord, for tonight, our Bible study. And we pray in your holy name. Amen. Family, y'all have a good night. And I'm going to close. Here we go. Okay. Got a little bit of a problem here. Stand by. Okay, I got a little bit of a sound issue for some reason. Okay, I don't know what. Okay, this is always something that's in this. In this electronics world, something always. I'll tell you what. So I'm having a little trouble with the music I want to close off with for some oddball reason. So I'm going to have to close tonight. And for some reason, my electronics aren't working like they used before. Let's go. Yeah, I got a little troubles here with my music. So, family, y'all have a great night tonight. And I hope that you learned something tonight. That the Bible study. Because, family, I learn something new every night. And Sundays is your church day or your study day or whatever you want to call it, whatever it is for you. And we shall have a good day tomorrow. I don't know why this it's not working right now for me, but usually I can play this song after, but tonight it's not working for some oddball reason. And that I can't figure out right now to save my life. I don't know why. There's always something, I guess, in these times. Because it was playing just a little while ago. But today it's not working. I don't know. All right, you have a great night tonight. And I'm going to close down. And we'll see you on Monday if you attend my regular broadcast at 3 to 5. And Bible study, don't forget, Tuesday 7 to 9. So y'all have a good night. And sorry about the music. I usually can play it, but tonight for some reason it's not going over the air. I can't figure that out to save my life on that one. No idea why all of a sudden. I see it playing, but it's not going like it should. Anyway, thank you all, and have a good night.